the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Do you like going to movies? I know some people do, some people don't. It's not as exciting to go to a movie today as it was before the pandemic. Because before the pandemic, you didn't worry about somebody sitting next to you or being crowded. You just went there for the experience. I like going to movies, though, even today. I like the popcorn. Yeah, that's my favorite thing about the movie, the popcorn. You know, they make popcorn now. You can put in the microwave that says it's movie theater popcorn. It's not. You know, it's not. But the great thing after the pandemic, you know, now that I go back to the movie theater, after you get your popcorn, you can put your own butter on. You can't beat that. You can just load it down with butter. But besides the popcorn, I like the big screen. I even like the previews. Yeah, you get 1 or 2 minutes, you get these previews of coming attractions. They tell you the storyline a little bit. They give you some characters. And it leaves you with wanting more. I'd like to see that, you know, and that's the whole idea of this coming attraction. They want you to say, I want to come back, and I want to see that. Well, you know, the miracles of Jesus are previews of coming attractions. Now, that's not all that miracles are about. There's more to it than that. Jesus performed miracles for a number of reasons. One thing, to show his identity, to help establish his authority. Obviously, to fulfill some prophecy and to meet people's needs. But in one sense, miracles are a preview of future attractions. They are a preview of heaven. Through his miracles, Jesus pulls back the curtain. He gives us a glimpse of what's to come. Now, you think about that. He feeds the 5,000. And he pulls back the curtain. He gives us a glimpse to what's to come in heaven. Never will people be hungry. Never will they be thirsty again, because Jesus has that type of power to feed everyone. And when he calms the storm, again, he pulls back that curtain and he gives us a picture of what's going to come, or preview of what's going to come. No more natural disasters in heaven. And when he cast out demons, again, a preview of the new world. Satan is no longer in control. He has no power at all in heaven. And when Jesus heals the crippled and the blind and the sick, he gives us a preview of heaven, where there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more death. So in one sense, and please, I'm not saying this is all that miracles are about, but in one sense, Jesus's miracles are a preview of what's to come. So today we're going to look at a miracle where Jesus gives us a preview of a day in his life and a preview of what's going to happen in our lives. Luke chapter 7, beginning of verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." In this account, we see Jesus on the road from Capernaum to Nain. Now, if you look at the slide, Capernaum is at the very top, and Nain's a little further down. It's about a 25-mile journey. A large crowd is with him. He has been teaching. He has been performing miracles, and the crowd has grown and grown and grown. He's attracted a lot of people, and they're with him as he heads to Nain. It's like a parade. If it was a modern situation, there'd be fire trucks with the horns blowing. There'd be floats and people marching, bands playing. Jesus is here. It's exciting. So this is a parade of a bunch of happy people headed toward Nain. But the people must have wondered somewhat about why Jesus was pressing so hard. I mean, this is a 25-mile trek. Going to take about 8 or 9 hours. Why doesn't he stop? Why doesn't he rest? Why are we in such a hurry to get to Nain? But when they get to Nain, it's obvious why Jesus was pressing so hard, why he was in such a hurry. Because as the parade gets to the gate of the city, just as they were entering the city, they met a procession that was leaving the city. And this procession wasn't a happy one. It wasn't a parade like Jesus's. It was a sad procession. It was a funeral procession. If it was today, there would have been a hearse, and behind the hearse, a long line of cars with their lights on, that purple flag. It was obvious to everyone this was a funeral procession. It was obvious to Jesus and the crowd with him that this was a funeral procession. The people were weeping. They were dressed as mourners. They were carrying a coffin. Now, if you look on the screen, it doesn't look like a coffin that we would carry today, yet that's what's called a coffin. And Jesus walks up to the woman in front of the procession, and she's a widow, the Bible says, and the deceased is her only son. Can there be any deeper pain, you know, than losing a child? Robert Dabney was a Presbyterian minister, lived in the 1800s, and he wrote something in his journal which was interesting. He was at a meeting, and while at the meeting, he got word that his son was very ill. And he took a train, he got home, and he was able to sit at his son's bedside for 2 days, and his son died. Now, this was the first death this man had experienced in his family. His parents were alive. His grandparents were alive. All his siblings were alive, his aunts and uncles. He had not experienced death in his family. And after the death of a child, this child, later on he wrote this in his journal: "I have learned rapidly in the school of anguish this week, and I am many years older than I was a few days ago." The death of a child has to be so, so very hard. And this woman in our text, she has lost her husband, and now she has lost her only son. Along with that, she has lost her income. And because of the time, she has lost her standing in the community. She has lost her family line. She has lost companionship. I kind of think if you talk to her, she'd probably say, "I've lost everything." And I know there's a great crowd of people with her, but I can't help but to think she probably feels really alone. But she's not alone, because Jesus hasn't been pressing hard all day to get to Nain for nothing. This is not a chance meeting. This is not coincidental. This is not an accident. This is a divine moment. Jesus wanted to get to Nain to meet her at this exact moment. This, her darkest moment, the time of her deepest need. He wanted to meet her then. And the Bible says when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. In other words, he had compassion on her. And he comforts her. And he goes up to her and he says, "Don't cry. Don't cry." And he goes over and he touches the coffin. And the Bible says when he touched the coffin, those who were carrying the coffin stopped. It was like Jesus was saying, "Death, you've come this far, but you're not going any farther." And then Jesus talks to the boy. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Now notice the word "I." I, who am the Prince of Life, I, who hold the keys of death over death in the grave, I, who breathe the life into the nostrils of people, I say to you, get up. And what did the boy do? Well, he got up. Death does not have power that Jesus has. Jesus says, "Get up," and he got up, and the Bible says he sat up and began to talk to his mother. Now, you know, there are certain things the Bible doesn't tell us that you kind of like it to tell us, but I guess if it did, it would be really long. But I'd like to know what the boy said to his mom. What did he say? He's been dead all day, and now he gets up. What did he say to mom? Of course, I was a teenager at one time, and the boy's been dead for a day, so he probably said, "Mom, I'm hungry. Let's get something to eat." If it was today, he would have said, "Let's order a pizza." I don't know what he said. But verse 15 is one of the greatest passages in the Bible. It says, Jesus gave him back to his mother. He is our comforter in time of sorrow. He is the victor over death. Now listen to this, which means that ultimately he is the restorer of our families. Jesus gave this boy back to his mom. And one day, folks, as Christians, you're going to see your family again. One day I'm going to see my dad again. One day I'm going to see my mother again. One day I'm going to see my grandmother again. One day I'm going to be reunited with my loved ones who have gone on before me, and the same is true for you. And now the Jesus parade is twice as big as it was before, and everyone is laughing and praising God and having a good time. And in verse 16, we read this. The people said, God has come to help his people. They didn't say God has come to judge his people. Now, he will do that one day. But they said, God has come to help his people. God has come as the Savior of the world. And that's good news. And you and I, we need to share that good news with others. We are not part of a funeral procession leaving town. We are not people who have or who are full of despair. We are not people who have no hope. We are part of the Jesus parade. And we need to tell people that we have a God who has come to help. Now, a lot of things we could talk about here when it comes to this miracle, but I want to share with you three things God brings with him when he comes to help. When he comes with compassion. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with our grief. Jesus was full of compassion. And time again, as we read the Gospels, that Jesus had compassion for people who were hungry, for the poor, for those who were mistreated, for the women and for the children and for the sick and for the sinful and for the grieving. And that's why he has come to help us, because he has compassion on us. And remember, whatever you may be facing now, Jesus has faced the same thing, something very similar. He faced the death, his own death, and he also faced the death of loved ones. He faced temptation and loneliness and poverty and pain, sleepless nights, betrayal, hunger, thirst, ridicule. He was attacked by his enemies and also attacked by Satan. People told lies about him. He suffered. He was beaten. He was God with us. He took on human form to face what we face, to feel what we feel. So God knows what you have been going through, and he knows what you're going through now. He has compassion on you. That's why he came into this world. And whatever concerns you have about the future, understand you have a God who has come to help, full of compassion. And whatever you're going through, you're not alone. Most of you know who Joni Erickson Tottie is, a woman. She's a writer, and when she was a teenager in a diving accident, she was paralyzed from neck down. She wrote an interesting thing I want to share with you. I don't know if I've ever shared with you in the past or not, but she was a quadriplegic. And Joni wrote about her friend Jackie. She said she and Jackie were best friends in high school, and they were on the same field hockey team. And they win the championship. And that day, they thought they were favored to win. They thought they would win, but it was a rainy day. It was terrible, and they lost. And they walked back to the bus in the rain, and they got in the back seat of the bus, and everybody was just discouraged. They were discouraged. And they were reminded of a song that helped them in the past, and Joni and Jackie began to sing the song, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. And she wrote the song, lifted their spirits, and helped them. It wasn't long after that she had the diving accident and was paralyzed. And she writes that when she was laying in the hospital, she suddenly thought God didn't seem so good anymore. She was a young woman facing a life of paralysis. She wasn't sure that God cared about her anymore. She laid there in the hospital all summer, and her friends were going to work and going out and having fun and preparing for college. It was even difficult for her friends to come and see her, because throughout the day, when they were working, that's when the visiting hours were, and the visiting hours stopped in the evening. But one evening, she heard a noise, and she looked down, and she saw her friend Jackie crawling on the floor, sneaking past the nurse's desk so she could come in and see her. And Joni said, stop, you're going to get in trouble. And Jackie said, shh. And she crawled over to her bed, and she got in, and she laid next to her. And she grabbed her hand, and of course, she could not feel it. So she lifted her hand up in the air so Joni could see she was holding her hand. And she turned to her face, And she began to sing, "Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." And Joni said that night in the hospital, during that sacred moment, that's just what she needed. She needed to know that Jesus knows, and that Jesus cares, and that he understands. When Jesus comes to help, he comes with compassion. Not only that, he comes with power. Now, it's interesting when you read this. This account is very similar to an account we have in the Old Testament. In fact, some of the words are almost word for word of when Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead. In the book of 1 Kings, it talks about Elijah meeting the widow at the gate. It talks about the boy being her only son. It tells us that Elijah raised the boy from the dead and gave him back to his mom. So there are some similarities between what Jesus did here and what Elijah did, but there are some differences also. You see, when Elijah went to raise the boy, he prayed, he pleaded to God, and then he laid on top of the boy, and he got up and the boy was still dead. And then he pleaded and he prayed to God again, he laid on top of the boy, and he got up and the boy was still dead. One more time, he just prayed and laid on top of the boy, and he got up, and the boy got up, and the boy was alive. Now, that's Elijah. Now, how did Jesus do it? Well, Jesus doesn't pray. Doesn't mean he didn't. He could not have prayed. He could have prayed. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed. But he doesn't pray. He just touches the coffin, and he says, "Get up," and the boy gets up. Jesus spoke, and he exerted his power over death. Now, I don't think it's an accident. This is the very first time in the book of Luke that Luke calls Jesus Lord, because here we see that Jesus is the Lord over his creation. Jesus spoke and everything came into existence. And now he speaks and he brings the soul of a dead boy back into his body. When Jesus comes to help, we need to understand that he has power, and he has power unlike any other power. And when Jesus comes to help, he brings with him hope. At the time that Jesus performed this miracle, the future of humanity could be summed up with the word death. But this miracle, you see, is a preview of things to come. It's a hint that one day Jesus himself is going to raise from the dead. The miracle gives us a little window to help us to see that one day Jesus would be victorious over death. On Friday, he was crucified, and it looked like death had triumphed over him. He was taken down from the cross dead. He was laid on that cold slab dead. He was dead on Friday, and all of Saturday, he laid there in the tomb dead, and a portion of Sunday, he laid there dead. But as the rays of the sun broke through the horizon, his heart started beating again, and after 3 days, his blood that had been cold warmed up and ran through his veins. His fingers moved, his eyes opened, his chest heaved, and he took a breath, and he swung his legs off of that cold stone slab, and he walked out of the tomb alive. Now, the boy that Jesus raised from the dead would die again, but for Jesus, this was no momentary victory. He was raised from the dead, never to die again. And this miracle is a preview of a day coming when Jesus will say to all those in the grave, "Get up!" And their bodies will get up to be reunited with their souls. And the Bible says that will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So no matter what you're facing today, please understand that Jesus comes to offer compassion and power and hope. As Christians, you have a Savior who cares, and he meets you where you're at to help you. Now, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, God may or may not answer your prayers. He may or may not help you. He has come to help his people. But you can be one of his people. The Bible says it's so simple. To become a Christian, we need to have faith that leads us to repent of our sins, confess Christ, and be baptized into him. If you need to make that decision to become a Christian, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you come forward today, we can baptize you into Christ. Let's be standing as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.